Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply.
So wonderful that we can be in God's house, be among God's people. And really, last week, how many of us enjoy our 10th anniversary celebration? How many of us still believe that God is doing a new thing in our midst, in our lives? And I believe that something has started by the Spirit, and He was going to see to completion. Amen. And let's look at the PowerPoint this morning. And again, it's good to remind ourselves what First Light is about, that we as a community of Jesus Christ, we bring healing to lives, make disciples, and multiply across nations. Amen. And this is something God has put in our heart, that we want to become a healthy community. And to become a healthy community, we need to ask God to bring healing in our midst, isn't it? Not just physically, but emotionally, in terms of relationship. And when we experience the joy, the strength of God in our midst, we can bring it across the city to other communities, that we can make disciples and multiply across nation. And this year, I think one of the themes that we've always been going back to is learning to live the avodah life, right? Avodah, as we know, is a Hebrew word meaning a seamless life of worship, work, and service. Now, we are past half a year already. How many of you find your life more seamless or tearing apart? If it's been tearing apart, you better go back and listen to the sermon all over again. But I think the more we get into the Word of God sets us free. Amen? And it sets us free from how we understand work or how we understand worship and service. And often than not, we live a very compartmentalized life. And God wants to bring us that we can flow. What do we mean by seamless? If we are seamless, means God is partnering with us and we are partnering with God. That it must be such a way, this partnership is so sweet. When the outsider sees us, they do not know where God ends and you begin. They do not know when you end and God begins. That is what it means to be seamless. That means when they see you, they can see the Father, but they also can see you. You do not lose your identity, but you rediscover something more about your life. That when people see you, they can see there's God in you. And you yourself, as you flow with the Father, you know that at certain point, you can sense his presence in such a tangible way. But at the same time, God also will speak to you through wisdom that you may do His work and bring Him glory. Amen? And this morning, I want to talk more about how can we be more fully persuaded of how we can live the avodah life. And this is my sermon title, which I rip off from a great man of God called Hudson Taylor. Right? Everyone read this together. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. One more time. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And this is a man, if you read his life story, is a man who lived really by faith. And he believed that if we get into the work of God, if we do it the way God wants us to do it, his vision is also his provision. Amen. If we want God to provide for us, if we want to have a ceaseless supply of God's grace in our life, then we must begin to ask the deep question, what is the will of God that we are called into? And it is interesting, when we talk about the will of God, again, we want to go back to some of the things I've been sharing about our identity plus purpose equal destiny. How many remember this slide? Very important slide, all right? This is what I call the Richard Tan theorem. It's important, right? Why? Because we talk about identity, we talk about God loves me. God gives you life in Jesus Christ. He calls you to become a new creation in Him. When you are a new creation, you have a new nature, you have a new identity. And when you live up according to that revelation of your identity, you know how much God loves you. But at the same time, God do not just love you full stop. If God does love you full stop, you will live a very narcissistic life. But God said, I love you because I want you to see beyond who you are. And that becomes our purpose. And our purpose is always linked to God loving the world. Your purpose is about you being given gifts or given a position or given a kind of influence that you can go forth and change other people's life or influence people or impact people that they may know the Father's love. How many of you will say this is an exciting life? It is. That's how, when we put all this together, it becomes our destiny. So identity purpose and destiny is all in Christ. That's why the Hebrew writer says that he looked unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. In fact, the word finisher is the word called developer. It is as if when the writer of Hebrews was telling us that it is as if God is the architect as well as he is also the developer. So it means that like a man or like a person who bought an empty piece of land, right then that person can imagine that land is going to be used for a house, or that land is going to be used for a factory, that land is going to be used for a private apartment or whatever. There is a vision. So he is a beginner, the architect, but he is also the developer. So when Christ begins his life in us, he already has a vision of where he wants to bring you to. Amen. He cannot just imagine in his mind, but he began to develop you that so that through his grace, through his work, you will be a complete work of the Father's love. Amen. And that is why Jesus himself echoed this. And this is also an echo that all of us must have to live the Avoda life. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. So what is your purpose? If your life is in Christ, your purpose also echoes his purpose. You also reflect his glory by saying, for this purpose, and this purpose is for me to bear witness to the truth. And this is something you can see in Jesus. And I often say that Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19 is Jesus' life verse. Remember this year, I start with telling all of you, find your life verse if you haven't found your life verse. Because your life verse is a way in which the Father is speaking to you through his word. And when you find your life verse, it sets a whole new momentum. It gives you a freedom to flow with the Spirit of God. And so Jesus, if you look at his life verse from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Remember, I talk about identity plus purpose equal destiny. In fact, in this few verses, you can see it. Jesus himself identified himself that God's Spirit is upon me. God has anointed me. How many of us had that kind of confidence to say, and we should have that kind of confidence that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. And Jesus then break down what is his life purpose: to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, if you are poor, would you like to meet Jesus? Yes. If you are brokenhearted, would you like to meet Jesus? Yes. If you are being a captive or something, you better meet Jesus. If you can't see, you see Jesus. If you are instead oppressed, you better know Jesus. Imagine every one of us know our life verse, and every one of us enjoy our identity, and every one of us live up to our purpose. Will we not be the best people want to see us? Meet us? We would. Doors will open to you. If every believer believes their identity and purpose and fulfill their destiny, everyone will welcome you. Hallelujah. And when was the last time the world really welcomed us? Right, there's always negative press about the world. But Jesus, when he entered into his ministry, there was lots of negative press. But when he knew his identity, he knew his purpose, he fulfilled his destiny, and people were drawn to him. That's why later in his ministry, in John, it says, in John chapter 9, verse 4 to 5, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The context of this verse happens when Jesus healed a blind man, right? And there was a lot of controversy why he was healing and all this and that. But Jesus lived up to his identity and his purpose, and he fulfilled his destiny. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me. Remember I said to you all about a month earlier, you are not going to heaven. You are from heaven. Because now we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. So the goal of the Christian life is not about you and I going to heaven, but the purpose of the Christian life is to bring heaven to earth. And so when we bring heaven to earth, remember I said we are not human beings looking for spiritual experiences, but we are heavenly beings mastering the human experience. So where there is crisis, where there's trouble, you and I who sit from heaven, come down to heaven, is to master those human situations that we can bring liberty and freedom to those who are oppressed and those who are captivated by those situations of the life. Amen? What a great assignment. The thing is this, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me. Well, it is day. The night is coming where no one can work. Of course, he's using this as a metaphor that there will be a time in which I cannot do what I'm supposed to do. But right now, as long as a window of opportunity is given to me, I must fulfill what God has put into my identity and my purpose. Then he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, can we be bold a bit? If our life is truly in Christ, and it is, right? If Jesus himself say, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And if you're in Christ, you also can echo the same. As long as Richard is in this world, he is the light of the world. I'm a small light, candlelight. Jesus is the greater light. As long as Richard is on this world, he is the salt of this world. Put your name there. As long as I am in this world, I am the light in places where there's darkness. I am the salt in places where there's no flavor. I am the truth in places where it's filled with lies and corruption. I am the wisdom when you're among people who has no wisdom. Because the Spirit of the Lord is also upon you. So you echo the same life verse as Jesus. So, in one sense, the Christian life is not being busy, but being productive. Being faithful and being fruitful to the power of God working in us. Now, for some of you may say, what do you mean? I must work the works of him who sent me. I got plenty of work to do already. In fact, I take some of my work back after work, right? You know, sometimes in Christendom, we have this struggle. For some people, we say, oh, these people are doing God's work. Like who? Like Uncle Tan here. Pastor doing God's work. Missionary who serve in the field is, they are doing God's work. Then, if I'm doing God's work, if Mary and Ed are doing God's work, what you guys are doing? See, we compartmentalize things. That's why we cannot live the other life. But if we begin to understand, if eternity is written in our heart, and God knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. He knows my name and he calls me for such a time as this. It means all of us are doing the work of God. I'm a sent one. Say to yourself, I'm a sent one. Say to your neighbor, you are a sent one. In the Bible, the sent one is called a missionary. So all of us are missionaries. Amen? So don't make a big deal of those who go. Those who go here and go there are fulfilling their earthly assignment. Meantime, you are here fulfilling your assignment. But who knows, one day God may call you to do something else. Now, I like what Keith Green used to say years ago. Don't ask God whether he's calling you out. Ask God also whether he's calling you to stay. That you need that kind of healthy tension. But sometimes the problem is we think, I got so much work to do. If I have spare time, I'll do the works of God. Or I'll do God's work. But this is not what we should be doing. I think let me help you all go further. There is a difference between work and job. Okay, I'm going to allude to you. Okay, spoiler alert. Work is eternal. job is temporal, but that is a different. I think most of us, sometimes we think it's the same thing, a work and a job. I got a job to do, I got plenty of work. But let me dissect for you all for the sake of the gospel. There is a difference between work and job. Work is that your job, okay, in terms of job first, your job changes with location, seasons, qualification, desire, and preference. Agree? Most of you didn't stay in the same company. You change your company. Some of you may change your career. Some of you may end up taking different kinds of degree or fulfill certain kind of qualification for something else. And sometimes it comes from a place of desire and your preference. Right? Same time, you can be made redundant from your job. Agree? But not from your work. Right? Your boss don't like you. The business is not doing well. You're make redundant. So the problem is we thought we were doing a good job until we were made redundant. Sometimes we were not made redundant, right? Sometimes we choose to resign and move on. But the problem is in our culture is that we fix a lot of our identity in our job. Agree? When people know you're a doctor, they come to you. They see Ditsa say, "Ditsa, I know you're Sunday, but I have this pain in my neck. You know, what do you think?" Right? And free consultation, right? You go to a place, people are talking and yelling and swearing. You come in and ask you, "What do you do?" "I'm a pastor." Everyone become very holy. Very quiet. You know, I find as a pastor, it's very interesting that I counsel people. People come to me and share their heart, go through their life journey with them. One-to-one, they are very open. But I find very strange, the moment this whole group of people comes together in a life group, as pastor comes in, someone will say, "We better behave ourselves. Come on, seriously, I know all your sins. You told them to me." You know what I mean? Saying, but the moment the pastor comes to the room, "Let us behave ourselves. We are strange people." Right? I was just reading an article the other day. It says, it's very interesting. A man can be naked before his wife. The same man can be naked before his doctor. But that man feels very embarrassed if he is naked before his wife and a doctor at the same place. I know it's very deep. But I think the crisis of our time is this, is where do we put our identity? Because if my work is always changing, sometimes I'm valued, sometimes I'm not valued, sometimes I'm being forced to retire or make redundant, and sometimes I'm not prepared for my retirement, I am totally broken or I crash because I put so much weight on my identity, or my too much weight on my job as a sense of my identity. That's why you hear a few weeks ago where Evie was sharing about moving from a career to become a mom. That is a struggle because sometimes for many of us, we feel that we are more productive out there, but caring for someone within our family can be a struggle because where are we? Who are we? Kind of stuff. But can we broaden our mind a bit? Can or not? We can. You must. Work is that your work never changes. It only advances. If you believe eternity is written in your heart, there's no going back, but it's always a going forth. Amen? No, your work never changes. It only advances. What changes is your job. Now, the next point I want to make is this. Your work is closely tied to your identity, your purpose, and your destiny. I'm not saying that job don't tie into this, but sometimes really we know sometimes in our workplace or where we are working, while we try to live out our identity and our purpose and destiny, will you not agree? We always believe there's more to us than just our job. Agree? If you believe there's something more to you than just your job, that means you are beginning to recognize you have a work. And what is this? It is tied to your identity, purpose, and destiny. For this purpose, I was born. And for this purpose, I must fulfill to proclaim the truth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do this stuff. Because if my life is meaningful before God, and God gives me my life, God attached a purpose to my life. And I say, a purpose is always linked to a problem. It means, if you fulfill your purpose, and the time comes for you to take your seat back in heaven, that problem should have been solved. Amen? When was the last time we go to a funeral service and someone say, that person was a problem solver? We often say, oh, that's a good man, great man, whatever it is. I think, theologically speaking, if we ever pass from this world to the next, everyone should clap at our funeral and say, that was a great problem solver. And this is what it is. If we can trust God to do what he needs to do in us. Because you can do a job or leave a job, but your work stays with you. And my next point is this. You can get frustrated with your job, but you will find joy in doing your work. When you know your work, when you do that work, you are full of joy because you are full of energy. Honestly speaking, most of us, when we go to our workplace, we are not always full of joy. Spoiler alert, tomorrow is Monday. And you're not going to be full of joy. Some of us, oh, I got things to do, I got this stuff, I got deadlines, this and that. But when was the last time you do something that you are so filled with energy, you can go on for hours without needing to eat something or drink something? You just feel with so much life. Can you remember that part in your life? That, my friend, is when you are discovering or you actually doing your work. I love to teach. I can preach for 10 to 12 hours a day. You just give me a pulpit, I can continue. You can go home, it's okay. I will still be standing here. All right, so when I was invited to share or teach in a Bible school or in China or anywhere, I was so excited that the class started at 10 o'clock. I'm there at 6 o'clock already. I said, how come no one's here? All right, I'm ready to go. And I can just go on and go on and go on. Right? Because I'm doing my work. I'm not just doing a job. And so when a student asks me complicated questions, tough questions, I can't answer, oh, good question, let me go out. I go home, I begin to research, I begin to look at stuff, and I say, wow, I'm so motivated by the question I never thought of, and next day, I could answer those questions. This is having the energy. And when we are really tapped into our identity, our purpose, and our destiny, we will be filled with energy. We can get frustrated with our job, but we will always find joy in doing our work. Let me give you a classic example. That is of John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 25 to 26. One day, someone began an argument with John's disciples, telling them that Jesus' baptism was best. So they came to John and say, Master, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you said was the Messiah, he is baptizing too, and everyone is going over there instead of coming here to us. In short, is John, everyone is leaving your church and going down the church next door. Right? How did John reply? Now, before I talk about John's reply, if you ever watch any of the Jesus film, most of the time they portray John like some kind of lunatic. Right? He's always very intense because he wore camel's hair. He eat organic food like honey and locusts. John is the original hipster. But if you always look at the Jesus film, I think they misrepresent John. They make him look like some crazy guy. Yes, his sermon was harsh. Repent, you know, you vipers, everything. But we do not understand John's, by the very nature of his name, means God is grace. John is a grace preacher. Although he dressed like a hipster. And he likes one too. But look at his reply. God in heaven appoints each man's work. My work is to prepare the way for that man so that everyone will go to him. Imagine if you know your identity, you know your purpose, you fulfill your destiny, is it not the same as John? It's to prepare people to go to Jesus. You yourselves know how plainly I told you that I am not the Messiah. I'm here to prepare the way for him. That is all. The crowds will naturally go to the main attraction. What is the main attraction of First Light? Jesus Christ. We must lift his name higher. And he went further. The bride will go where the bridegroom is. A bridegroom's friends rejoice with him. I am the bridegroom's friend. I am filled with joy at his success. When was the last time you feel joyful over someone else's success? Honestly, sometimes I'm jealous of other pastors. I look how big their churches are, how great a preacher they are, and how many ministry they are running. I'm jealous. I know you guys are not jealous, kind. You're perfect, but this is my baggage. This is my baggage, right? And if you have baggages, go to Jesus. What he says here is very interesting. Now go to how John understood this. The bride go where the bridegroom is. The church is the bride of Christ. And we must always help believers, even those who yet to believe, to go to the bridegroom. While we are all brides of, we are all together collectively the bride of Christ. But we are also the bridegroom's friend. In fact, any churches, any ministry out there that is successful, we must rejoice. Because God in heaven appoints each man work. So you find the most successful pastor, the most successful Christian businessman, the most successful something, you say, thank God that you have lived up to the heavenly appointment. Thank God you are trailblazing for the rest of us to come after. Thank God you have the tenacity and the boldness to keep on doing what you were called to do, that you are preparing people, you are preparing generation that all will go to him who should be exalted by all. Wow. Isn't that great? It's great. But sometimes you may say, I'm not there yet. It's just only me, there's no one else. Well, be encouraged. Jesus in Luke 6:40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. The word disciple is a learner, a follower. But you begin this journey, you have not fully understood your identity, you have not been pulling in your purpose, and you somehow seems to be very murky in terms of your destiny, stay on the path. Just stay on the path. You know, sometimes we say that, I'm not like Jesus, I'm not that perfect. Oh, actually Jesus said, you are like me. You just haven't caught up yet. Isn't it? Sometimes, I know this doesn't happen to you guys. It happened to me and Joanne. We argue. And so I say, hey, I'm not perfect like Jesus. And one day the Lord said to me, yes, actually you are. You didn't read the fine print. It's just that you do not know how to get there. And so this is what Jesus is saying. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained is like the teacher. How many of us want to be perfectly trained? Now, this is what it means. The Greek word for perfectly trained is katartizo. And it has several meanings. In the gospel, it says, when Jesus saw Peter and James, they were manning their nets. That word manning is katartizo, meaning to mend what has been broken or rent. Why were they mending their nets? Because after a night of catching, maybe driftwood, it could be rocks or stone that tears the net. So they had to mend it so that they can have a productive catch the next day. There's a whole allow all the fishes to escape. It can also mean to make one what he ought to be. That means God knows who you should become. And he's making you to be like that person he has envisioned before the foundation of the world. To fit you up, to equip. And also, lastly, I like this definition. Katartizo means perfectly joined together. Those of you who love woodworks know how you need to have good joints so that your furniture holds together. And this is what Jesus said, if you are perfectly joined to me, you can be as good as I am. The word perfectly trained is not asking us to be perfect, but it signifies something of strength, of life, and of health, isn't it? For some of us, the Lord has to do his healing work. He needs to mend us. We are broken somewhere along the way. We have been wounded. And God says, your wound doesn't stop me from getting you to what you should become. I need to heal you. I need to mend you. Whether physically, whether emotionally, in terms of your relationship, I need to work on you right now on that. For some of us, he's training us what we should become. He knows where to take us. He knows how to prepare us. See, for most of us, we think that to be healthy or to be fit is about dieting and exercising. But when you talk to athletes and soldiers, they don't diet or exercise. They eat right and they train right. While training may involve exercising, but training, if you ask an athlete or a soldier, is having a holistic view of everything. Now, he will fit us according to what he has purposed us. You know, story also told about a man who went to his tailor for a final fitting of his new suit. And he was looking at the mirror and he was looking at the suit. He realized the suit was ill-fitting. And he told the tailor, there's something wrong with the collar. It's out of line. And the tailor say, all you need to do is tilt your head to a side. It looks right. Then he discovered the sleeves of his coat. One was long and one was short. He said the sleeves is wrongly cut. All you need to do is to shift your body to one side. The sleeves will line up. Then he discovered something wrong with his pants. And he say, there's something wrong with my pants. Again, the cut is slightly wrong. And you know, one is long and one is short. All you need to do is to shift your leg to another angle. It looks right. And now pay me my money and you can leave my shop. And so the man walked out of the shop walking in a very strange way. As he was walking down the street, someone saw him and say, I know who made that suit. It is Zota, the tailor. And the man said, how do you know? Because only Zota the tailor can make such a perfect suit for a grotesque body of yours. What the Lord is doing for us is never ill-fitting. What He's giving to us doesn't require us to adjust like that man wearing so-called the perfect suit. What He gives to us is always needful. What He gives to us is always right for the season ahead of us. The Lord needs to train us, perfectly train us to live the Avoda life. To be seamless in worship, in work, in service, He needs to train us so that when He trains us, by healing us, by fitting us according to what He has purposed for us, that when our life is perfectly joined to His life, as I say, when people on the outside sees you, they can't tell where God ends and you begin. That's why when you do something for someone, they often say to you, you are a godsend. And this should be, isn't it? That we are always at the right time, at the right place, always able to flow with what God is doing, where the world seems dark. There's a group of people who believe they are like the first light of God, shining ever brighter unto the perfect day. How do we start then? Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you. Say to your neighbor, God is working in you. Say to your neighbor the same thing, God is working in you. Our struggle is that, am I living according to God's purpose? Can I say to you, stop it? Stop asking this kind of question which doesn't make sense as long as Scripture is concerned, because it says God is working in you. And why is He working in you? Or what is He about working in you? Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Sometimes we ask those little questions, am I living a life that pleases God? We should stop it and say, Lord, what are you doing? What desires are you giving to me right now? And if God give you that desire to cross nation or cross the road to reach out to someone, or God give you the desire to bless someone financially, or God give you the desire to do something right and kind for somebody else, He will give you the power to do it. And if God's giving you the power, and God has given you the desire, is this not the essence of the Avoda life? It is. Because God is working in me right now, and working in you right now, that when we step into the Avoda life, you do not know where worship starts or worship ends, where work starts or work ends, where service starts or service ends. It is seamless. God gives you the desire. Someone asked me, how do I know it's God's desire? It is, especially when it's ridiculous. Have you ever wake up in the morning and suddenly God says to you, call someone? And you haven't called a person for donkey years, that must be God, can't be you. You go to work and suddenly God says to you, bring one of your colleagues for lunch, bless that person. Definitely it's God. Because every day you bring your own lunchbox. That day, God say, don't bring. Go and bless someone. It is God. The first ridiculous idea is always God. Then the next thing you say, is it God? That's you. Because the human voice will always want to nullify what God is saying to us if we are always actively listening. That's why Paul says, take every thought into captivity. If those thoughts you don't want to take into captivity, that thought will capture you. So what thoughts have been catching you nowadays? Or you have this mind of Christ and saying that, God, you are working in me and you will give me the desire, you will also give me the power. For some of us, God says, you need to love that brother, love that sister. You say, I don't have the desire. Oh, that desire is there already, God says to you. Now you need to say, Lord, I need that power. You get it? God may say, time for you to change ministry. Take on a new assignment. Step up into something more than what you think you're capable of. God has put a desire now. Now what you need is the power. Because, my dear friends, God's call in your life is always greater than your capacity and your capabilities to fulfill it. To live the Avodah life is supernatural. Until and unless we can submit and say, God, you are doing your perfect work in me, we will never be perfectly trained. But when we can say, God, you're working, your desires, and you're empowering me, I can go anywhere knowing that you are training me for the good work you set before me. Amen. Come, let's all rise.